and Destiny's Child?
Well, Destiny's Child, their first guest appearance was on a Lil O song. Lil O was like, he was famous in Houston and maybe in the surrounding areas in the 90s as a rapper. Destiny's Child featured on a song of his called, I think it's called either Can't Stop or Won't Stop or Don't Stop, one of those. And there's a Chopped and Screwed version of it, and it's amazing. I don't know if DJ Screw did that one or if that was Michael Watts. Not 100% sure.
Speaking of DJ Screw, the Dilla moment of Thundercat, the Dilla moment, and the DJ Screw track that you inspired, his Dilla moment, DJ Screw.
Yes, the Dilla moment was, I interviewed Thundercat about playing for Herbie Hancock the Slum Village song with the Come Running to Me sample, Get This Money. And apparently Herbie had never heard the sample before. And, you know, of course, Get This Money was produced by J Dilla. And, yeah, and since then, me and Thundercat have gotten closer. And if you go check out the album Drink, which is the Chopped and Screwed remix of Drunk, by DJ Candlestick and OG Ron C. I was happy to be part of that. That was great.
And right now we are going to end with Thundercat doing Tokyo, the Chopped Not Slop remix. What can you say about Thundercat and this particular track?
This was my favorite one that DJs Candlestick and OG Ron C touched. And I read an interview with Thundercat after this album came out where he said he can't hear the album at regular speed anymore. Like, this is how it's meant to be heard. And I think that this song, Tokyo, is the perfect example of that. It's actually at a tempo now that you can dance to. So I hope everyone enjoys it.
And of course, I can't hear this record without thinking of you, Saman! You inspired it! Thank you, Saman!
Right. Yes, I co-produced it, absolutely.
Anything you want to tell the people out there at all?
Head on over to thenostalgiamixtape.com. I want to say thanks to the producer of the mixtape or of the podcast, Jason Crow, and our other friends who helped out, Jasmine Chen, Natalie Menjivar, and Austin Eggleston. Thanks so much, y'all.
Why should people care about Saman? Why should people care about your podcast?
Because I only try to give people cool stuff. I'm not going to waste your time. All right. So you don't got to worry about that. I think all the stories you find on the Nostalgia Mixtape are very unique, very relatable, and mostly wholesome. But even when they're not, they're still really fun.
And right now, here is Thundercat with Tokyo. Well, thanks so much, Saman from Texas. Keep on rocking in the free world and doot, do, loot, do.
Do-do!
Just a restless nights in Tokyo. Wanna hear all the sounds and see all the sights, from the Shonan Eye to the Gundam Cafe. Gonna eat so much fish, I think I'm gonna be sick. Gonna blow all my cash on anime. Yes. Don't try to stop me, cause I'm over the stars. Just point me to the pachinko machines. I think I'm Ichiro, I think that I'm Goku. Can I just stay one more day? Reckless nights in Tokyo. Oh my God, it's Tokyo. It was premeditated, tried to get someone pregnant. It wasn't her fault, I'm just kinda psychotic. Left on my own, I would never come back. I probably hide in the suicide forest. This all started when I was a boy. I went to the dentist and he gave me a toy. It was Dragon Ball Z, a wrist slap bracelet. Goku fucking ruined me.
It's always been a saying, man. Everything ain't for everybody. So this year right here might not be for you, G. Don't mean it ain't jamming, though, you heard me? Cheater. But for the ones it is for, you know what to do, man. Pour your cup up some more. Turn this here up.
You're listening to Word on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM, right after Narwhal's show. And that was a song by Club Sofa. They're a local band from around Vancouver. They're a great live band to see. I've seen them a few times myself. And that song was called I Moved to Vancouver and All I Got Was This Stupid Nicotine Addiction. Interesting title there. We're going to be talking about mental health today because it's Mental Health Week at UBC. Through Thrive, and we'll go over that and what that's all about. We'll be talking about mental health with music today. And for now, I'm just going to play a couple ads, and we'll see you soon.
about Unceded Airways?
What's that?
Isn't that some kind of indigenous radio show?
It sure is. Tell me, are you down for decolonization? Yeah. What?
I certainly wish I could hear about indigenous issues, people, and events on the radio.
You're in luck, because Unceded Airwaves talks about all these things and more every Monday morning at 11.
Music from indigenous artists and coverage of all the hot happenings in indigenous art and entertainment.
On CITR 101.9 FM.
Oh, wow. And they broadcast all this from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people?
Find out for yourself. Monday mornings at 11. Yeah. Or find episodes online at citr.ca.
Today we're joined in the studio by the Cedar Program Youth.
Where you at?
It's not just rich people that own the media.
But by leaving out the most important things you need to know, they can elevate awareness to a new all-time low.
I own my media.
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 The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members.
But if it's just left out, can you say the paper lied? A lot of things that happened didn't happen after all. If there's no one in the forest who will put it in the news, I guess the tree didn't fall.
Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
I'm joining today. You should too.
Hey, we got quite a full studio today. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We just got a song coming up here. I apologize if the background is a bit noisy. This song is called Hot My 99 by Andrew Mulat. And stay tuned for new music from his band, August Cooper. And just a warning on this one, this is explicit. And this is Word on the Street, and we'll be back very soon.
Thank you.
on my shoulders. Please forgive me for my ways. I promise that I never really wanted to switch lanes. I'm sorry.
Hello, you're listening to Word on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. And on this week's episode, we're going to talk about mental health. Now, I understand this is a very sensitive topic, so just be forewarned. You know, we might be getting into some things that are troubling for some listeners. And I just want to say that right now, we're talking about mental health. And just to introduce this, I wanted to talk about Thrive at UBC. You may see these little things in the ground around UBC, and it just says Thrive at UBC. I didn't know what that was until this week when one of my professors made a point about this. He brought it up in class. I just want to say before I go into this, only one of five of my professors brought this up in class. One of five. So Thrive invites you to explore your path in mental health during Thrive Week, which is this week. This is why we're doing the episode of mental health this week. And although this exploration will be different for everyone, research around physical and mental health consistently points to five ways that can help everyone foster and maintain mental health. And they call these the Thrive Five. So I just wanted to quickly go over this, and then we're going to talk about mental health with music. So the Thrive Five are thrive by moving regularly, thrive by resting up, thrive by eating to feel nourished, thrive by giving back, and thrive by saying hi. So I just want to go over that, and I thought that'd be kind of encouraging because this is a more dark and like emotional topic, and it's just a brighter way to go into it. You know, there is support around UBC, and that's not always, you know, made blatant enough. Like I said, one out of my five professors talked about this week. So to introduce things, I just wanted to say that. So today we're going to talk about mental health and music and why that matters, why it matters to us, why it's important, and also sort of this stigmatization around mental health that is always looming. So does anyone want to offer their opinion or their piece or any thought just to kick this off? No? Am I just going to keep going? Well, I know you guys wrote a lot. No one wants to start off? Shanae?
I can start off.
Okay.
Okay. So I think it's very important to be talking about mental health in a music collective group, because I think that mental health plays like a really big role in not only the creative process of artists who decide to put their work out there, but in the the receptacles, which is the people who listen to it, like people who take that music in. It can be a great opportunity for catharsis, like for the artists themselves to be releasing that material, and a great opportunity for honesty and putting, like, extending the culture forward by, like, being able to talk about this, like, have it come up in conversations with your friends and just, like, have it as a general shared thing. Yeah, so I just think it's extremely important to continue to talk about that stuff, whether through music or as a listener to your friends.
Mm-hmm. Were there any certain artists or genres you wanted to exemplify with that?
Well, one thing that came up recently, I was watching a little like show on Snapchat, and there was a debate surrounding emo rap, like whether or not like this is like a good thing for the kids or whether or not it's a bad thing for the kids. And this is kind of like a very tired old thing that gets recycled every time there's like a new music genre that comes out that makes the older generation a little bit uncomfortable. And my argument for that would be like excluding figures like potentially like XXXTentacion or whatever, who are like controversial for other reasons besides talking about their mental health, such as like domestic abuse. There's lots of stuff like within that is just like cathartic and brought out and something that the kids can really connect to, because art imitates life. And it's like if an artist is just a person from that generation that's a representative of that collective whole that's decided to share their story. So if you're talking about something that is not being talked about by your parents, maybe stigmatized out there and like not so much by your teachers, or maybe some of your peers hasn't caught on, and you have that voice to help you along, I think nothing bad can come out of that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that emo rap wave, do you think that that's significant? Do you think it's relevant? Or is it just another trend that's sort of in music?
Well, I just think it's nothing new. It's like that's one thing. It's just a force that's just reincarnated itself. Like, it's very interesting. Like, you can take something like grunge and you can look at it, like, based on the times. It's like, you know, what, like, social factors were, like, playing into this music being expressed a certain way. It's like, you know, what things were being expressed in grunge that were making people uncomfortable at the time, and, like, how did that help people grow? So it's interesting only in that it is new, but it's valuable nonetheless because of what it represents.
Mm-hmm. Just playing off of that, I wanted to offer my own piece. I want to talk about hip-hop specifically with mental health because that's more my genre, the genre I pay attention to. And I read a few articles before I decided, okay, what am I going to talk about? So in one article I read that 1 in 5 people suffer every year from mental illness. And especially in the States, African-Americans are 20% more likely than other races to be suffering from these kinds of conditions. And, you know, when you think about hip hop, just generally, you think, oh, like, it's very just overgeneralizing. Like, I don't believe this, and I've talked about this a lot before. Like, you know, it's violent, it's tough, you know, it's not very open to, like, talking about your feelings and your like, own, like, visceral troubles, you know. But when you look at it more in, like, a way that's thoughtful than just that base level, you know, like you're saying, emo rap, like, oh, that's mm-hmm. bad, you know, like, that's gonna be bad for the kids. If you look at it deeper than that, hip-hop is actually a really good mechanism for reflecting, like, these struggles in a way that can talk about mental health. Like, I was reading about Jay-Z, and for years and years, he was very reserved about this stuff, but he actually said, with his mental health, when talking to therapy, he said, quote, therapy saved my marriage, unquote. And, you know, imagine, like, mm-hmm. therapy saving your marriage with Beyonce out of all people, right?
So that's pretty significant.
I think that, you know, that speaks volumes. And, yeah, I see you want to make a point of that?
Yeah, I just read an interesting article in Noisy written by Jesse Bernard. And he was talking about how, like, it's literally titled, As a Young Black Man, Rap Helped Me Deal with Depression When I Was Afraid to Seek Help. And he was talking about how specifically Isaiah Rashad was
Isaiah Rashad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that, like, he really actually related to. And he was talking about how, like, even though he liked stuff like Drake and, like, artists like that, he could never relate to just, like, the heartbroken, like, I fell in love with this girl and, like, all that stuff. And how Isaiah Rashad was, like, the first person he really, like, understood and could empathize with and, like, helped him deal with his, I guess, problems in a way. And, like, the article mentions how 80% of people from, like, ethnic minorities and feel like they can't speak about their mental health, and there's, like, a massive kind of stigma in that community especially. So music can be a really important outlet for people. So even, I don't know, it's just important.
Yeah, Isaiah Rashad is a great example of that. And that, like, brings me to think about, like, Brockhampton as well. Like, just, like, a big, really great, like, diverse group of voices coming together and talking about what, like, means something to them. And some of those voices are, like, you know, talking a lot about mental health. Like, some people are talking about struggling with being gay or with, like, Black struggle. And it's just, like, a great, like, collection of voices. That's probably why they resonate with our generation so much. Like, it's something new, and it's something that's a collective. And it mm-hmm. sounds like just representative people from the listening body, like, taking that stuff and bringing it back out for everybody else.
Definitely. I was reading another article from Noisy, and it talked about, you know, there's a lot of stigmatization with mental health, and especially minorities, like you're saying, Isaiah, feel like they can't speak out about that because of who they are, you know, which is not okay, and, like, that's how it is. But so it makes sense that, you know, mental health issues are sort of attracted to an outlet like hip-hop, where they talk about struggle. And there's these two doctors, and they're actually saying that hip-hop specifically is, you know, a way that it can be used in a way that can help battle mental illness. This article is titled, We Spoke to Two Doctors Who Think Hip-Hop Can Battle Mental Illness Itself. So I just wanted to talk a bit about that and what I read in here. And it was really interesting because I haven't heard of this. So there's this thing that they have, and it's called Hip-Hop Psych. And the point of it is to connect the medical and hip-hop worlds. And they use artists like Isaiah Rashad and Kendrick Lamar, respectively, you know, because they're from the same label. people like that who discuss these issues and sort of like, you know, building off of this thing where they have these main points like Thrive, they have the Thrive Five, they have these three tiers to preventing mental illness, and Hip Hop Psych thinks that, you know, you can use hip hop in a way that I know I just messed up a word there, but anyway, moving on. So the first one is about having understanding, and that's sort of the intervening level that they're at right now. And then the second is creating education, and the secondary is about recognizing issues and finding treatment. And then the third one is having a fully established diagnosis system. And they can take up these psychological treatments by ethnic minorities, and it's historically quite low. And so this doctor says that they're going to aim to work with music therapists and using hip-hop to refine therapies and make them more culturally sensitive, and as opposed to just, you know, mental illness as a whole with everyone, but looking specifically at these people who feel like they don't have a voice already, so that they should have a voice to talk about this. So does anyone want to say something related to that or have a point about that?
Yeah, just like reaffirming the whole like trickle down effect that'll happen if you like inject that into the culture of hip hop. Like, I know we've talked in past weeks a lot about how there's like this macho kind of like masculine, like restricted like persona that goes on in hip hop a lot of the time. And the more people that decide to come out and talk about it, you know, the more that trickles down into what the kids listen to, and it puts it into their conversations. And it's just, it kind of, it desensitizes and sensitizes the issue. It desensitizes the stigma. So when the stigma's gone, it's like, it's not like that big of a deal, but it sensitizes people to the reality of what's going on.
I think it's important to recognize that, like, in all genres, or maybe not all, but in a lot of genres of music, mental health has been discussed for decades. Like, for example, Johnny Cash has a song called Hurt, which is about like self-harm. There's Ozzy Osbourne's song Crazy Train, which is kind of about struggling with mental health. And I think it's important to realize that this isn't necessarily a new thing, but I feel like it is becoming more put into mainstream culture to have artists be openly discussing these things, and I think that's really healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No one else?
I feel like artists have been discussing, yeah, she said, like, mental illness for a long time, but we almost see artists separate from the person. And, like, we see the art as something we can relate to, but I feel like people seldom actually, like, are thinking about the artist's health. And I know that's not, like, exactly our responsibility and, like, can't really do anything about it. But, like, I don't know, I feel like we're always surprised when, like, suicide happens or something like that, when you look back at the songs and you're like, they've been singing about it forever. Like, it's almost like their art is a separate entity from the person, and we don't really think about the person behind, like, the sad words. It's just, like, our own... Like, mm-hmm. It's there for us to consume, and, like, I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I understand. I think this is going to come back again. We've talked about this so many times, but this is a completely different way at looking art versus artist.
Yeah, true.
Like, it's a completely different way, because usually when we talk about art versus the artist, we're talking about, okay, if an artist has done something bad, can you still listen to them and support their music? But this is sort of, like, the opposite. Something bad has happened to the artist, so how do you look at it? So what do you guys think if an artist is, you know, somebody who suffers from a mental illness? Do you look at them differently? Do you listen to them differently?
I think it can have a few effects. It can definitely help you. Like, if the artist is, like, behaving erratically in, like, a public, like, setting, it can definitely, like, help foster some empathy. But generally, it can help just, like, empathy, like, on a personal level. It's like you understand once you know that. And that just goes from, like, understanding the background to anything. Like, if you saw, like, a great painting and you liked it, and then you didn't know that it was inspired by this world war or this, like, social movement, it's like you wouldn't have that enhanced view. So I think it's just about having that enhanced view and understanding where it's from. Like genius, like, music, for example, like, on Spotify, well, like, if you, like, pay attention, they'll have, like, these little, like, excerpts of, like, you know, where the song's from, like, where it was, like, inspired from, and that just enriches the experience. So it's like, it can be very, like, disheartening to know that an artist that you love is experiencing something like that, but it just puts the art into the context that it's supposed to be put in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, along with that, it's like, I found at least that it's a very fine line between romanticizing the struggle of mental illness with music and then also like acknowledging that it is music that like about the artist going through a struggle. So like acknowledging their kind of fight, like their plight, as opposed to romanticizing the actual music can be very difficult.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't want them to just like turn into like a caricature, and you don't want that to become like their brand, even though sometimes that's what happens and you don't see the person, like you see that as like that being their inspiring thing. You can't see them as being beyond that. I know I've talked about Amy Winehouse in past weeks, but this is like a great example of that, how she just became intertwined with, you know, like a problem with substance abuse, a problem with alcoholism, and issues with mental health and relationships, and you couldn't separate her from that.
I think another like more contemporary example is like Chance the Rapper, not necessarily in terms of mental health at least, but kind of in the same vein of like the way artists gets treated. Like I know a lot of online comments, like after his latest album, for example, he like gets called out as becoming more corny and like doing dad rap and stuff. Cause like, yeah, now he's a dad and like his life's different than when he made Acid Rap or 10 Day or whatever. But like now that he doesn't necessarily want to be involved in the same stuff that he was when he was slightly younger, like fans still see him differently. Mm-hmm. And there's some that kind of want that old person because they're still in that point in their lives. But if the artist isn't in that point in their lives, sometimes the fan base isn't necessarily caught up.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I never been one of those fans who, when an artist goes through sort of a transitional phase of how they, you know, produce their artwork, like, I'm not like, oh, I hate this because I was such a big fan of the old one, like, I mean, just adding on to what Shanae said about sort of like, you know, the artist goes through stuff too and they feel that and we should still like care about that. Like when I listen to Channel Orange, I'm not like, oh, I hate Frank Ocean and Blonde because like he's not like Channel Orange. And at the same time, I'm not like,
terrible opinion.
I like Blonde better for the record, but I'm also not, you know, I'm also not saying, oh, I love that all of his music is so sad and I love that he's sad. Like, that would be so horrible to say. But, you know, just because the sort of the theme and the mood of their music is like that, it doesn't mean that, you know, you should feel, like, good about it, because it can be, like, coming from a very negative place.
Yeah, there's two artists that I thought of that, like, exemplify this very well. One of them was Jhené Aiko, who I've been listening to for, like, a really long time. It's, like, initially, like, she started out with, like, you know, like Sail Out, like she has like a lot of like dark stuff that she's channeling, and then she'll move into something that's more like positive and like mental health growing. It's like, that's just her experience. It's like, we need to like allow human beings to just like change. And the fan base, it's like, you might have a fan, like for an album, like a new album might attract a new segment of the fan base that like formerly wouldn't have been there. It's like, it's unfortunate that we have to like tack on this like massive fan base to everything that happens. Another artist that's a good example of this would be Mac Miller, who we know like has just like tragically left us a few months ago, but he reinvented himself with every album. He just wanted to keep growing. He wanted to keep pulling from his environment and becoming a better artist, and people change.
I guess a lot of it is appreciating an artist holistically and like recognizing if you're in that position. Like, I mean, a lot of people are artists, so if you create artwork, it tends to be like from your internal experience. Whatever's going on with you is what you're going to produce. So I feel like just appreciating that about other people, it's just a good way to recognize it.
I think one obviously like big name and very controversial name that hasn't been brought up yet, but in terms of mental health and like understanding an artist, like I think like Kanye is the hardest. Just dead. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Like, I mean, me and Isaac were talking about this earlier this week, but it, like, I don't know. It's hard. As like a personally, I'm fan of most of Kanye's music. I've never taken him too seriously, and I've never looked at him as somebody that's like political opinions I should listen to. But I think it definitely complicates things. When like this is kind of, it's kind of different than what we've been talking about earlier today, where it's like about artists going through just depression or other things like that. Like, how do you deal with an artist who's like erratic and
what?
who's not consistent, who's not like, you know, it's like, it's kind of tough to know how to handle that as a fan, because like at the same time he became like a Trump supporter briefly and then recently just like tweeted out some stuff about
He's abstaining his political views.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, it's like he's clearly got his own mental health issues he's going through, but then it's so hard to read.
I think Kanye is a very special example. He's not really like anyone else that comes to mind for me, like especially in this generation. But I still think it's important when, you know, whoever is going through this, whether it's Kanye or if it's you, Zubin, or if it's me, we should look at it like, you know, they're still human and like they still deserve, you know, to get help. I know a lot of the people who are criticizing him, at the same time, these people in the media are saying, please get help, please, you know, find out what's happening with you and figure it out before you start speaking out like this and you're talking against what you actually are. So, yeah, I think it's just always important, regardless of what you say or who you are, like, there is help and you should feel like help is readily available.
I guess another perspective is, like, consuming art as a personal experience. Like, you don't necessarily need to support everything about an artist. And, like, if you don't relate to all of the things in their album, you can take pieces of it that you do relate to and use that to comfort yourself. And I think that's perfectly okay as well. It's just, like, two different sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm just going to say one more thing, and we're going to play a couple songs, and we'll be back with this conversation. Just with ventures like psych hip-hop, you know, like I was saying earlier, where it connects the actual medical and the mental part of it to the music itself, things like these are important not just to demystify the stigma of, you know, the psychiatric issue, but also a genre like hip-hop, these kind of issues where you can talk about both the music and the illness. It's great if, you know, you can use these to stigmatize both things, not just one or the other. So I just wanted to put that out there. And we're going to play a couple songs now. I see, what do you want to hear?
The Club Sofa one.
Club Sofa, I already played it, I'm sorry.
I's a good one.
Okay, yeah, sure. Just on a later note, here is I by Kendrick Lamar. Just an explicit warning on this one. We'll play a couple of other songs, a couple of ads, and we'll be back. You're listening to Word on the Street.
This is a world. This is a world premiere. This is a world premiere.
I've been through a whole lot. Trial, tribulation, but I know God. Satan wanna put me in a bow tie.
Pray that the holy water don't go dry. Yeah, yeah. As I look around me, so many motherfuckers wanna down me, but enemy gon' never drown me. In front of a dirty double mirror, they found me, and I love myself.
The world is a ghetto with big guns and dinky thighs.
I love myself,
but they can do what they want whenever they want. I don't mind.
I love myself.
What you gonna do? Lift up your head and keep moving. But let the paranoia haunt you. Peace to fashion police, I wear my heart on my sleeve, let the runway start. You know the miserable, do love company. What do you want from me and my scars? Everybody lack confident, everybody lack confident. How many times my potential was anonymous? How many times the city making me promises? So I promise this.
I love myself.
The world is a ghetto with big guns and dinky
thighs. I love myself.
But they can do what they want whenever they want.
Police and a rock on a corner and a line full of fiend and a bottle full of lean and a model on a scheme, yeah. These days of frustration keep y'all on tuck in rotation. I duck these cold faces, post up, feed FIFO for basis. Dreams are reality's peace. Blow steam in the face of the beast. The sky can fall down, the wind can cry now. The strong in me, I still smile.
I love myself.
The world is a ghetto with big guns and dicky thighs.
I love myself.
But they can do what they want whenever they want.
I want the world last night.
struggle inside. My suffocating till the well runs dry.
Angel come clean, you are Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
When I first got back from a military tour in Afghanistan, any time I heard a siren or even a car alarm, I'd lose it completely. I would turn into a wild man, screaming, waving my arms. People would yell at me, "Shut up, you crazy. Get a job, would ya?" Well, I didn't go out and get a job. I got help instead. Now, I'm in a clean and safe apartment. I have friends and helpers who understand me. I landed a decent job. But I gotta admit, I still don't like car alarms or sirens. I used to think mental illness was a death sentence. I got life instead.
This message was produced by Columbian Center Society and Radio Malaspina in British Columbia.
Hi, we're back, and just a quick content warning for my plug.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But tonight there's the Pop Alliance Appreciation Party happening at Redgate, and Pop Alliance is basically this compilation thing that we do, CITR does in collaboration with Mint Records, and so yeah, there's a party tonight at Redgate, and it's starting at 9. It's by donation, but we recommend like $5 to $10-ish. And there's going to be performances by Swim Team, Aaron. Shitlord Fuckerman, and Kella Risa. So, see you there.
Cool. I also just wanted to say a couple of songs you just heard. Repeating Myself by Peach Pyramid. Before that was Nobody by Mitski, one of ICO's favorites. And now we're going to play another one that ICO likes. We're going to play Soaker by Alex G. And I think that's going to pretty much do it for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. I don't know what it is yet. If you want to check out the past couple of weeks, we talked about drugs 2 weeks ago with music. And we also talked about music artwork last week and album covers and things like that. So if you want to check that stuff out, you can go to citr.ca and you can look up Word on the Street. We're coming up actually to our 50th episode. I just discovered this like when I was looking at all of the play sheets and everything. So maybe we'll do something special. Maybe we'll get some former members around here. We'll see. But thank you for listening. And we're just going to close it off. This is Soaker by Alex G. And we'll see you next week. Have a good weekend.
Heavyweight, make any assassin demonstrate the full gamut. Suppose the scholars how they speculate so heavy-handed. My weapons list betrays expensive taste. The only appropriate reply is belly laughter and haste. Watching the past pass with the calm clairvoyance of disasters it makes. For many years we danced and took to crafts requiring quill and ink. Them who thought it was a superpower just to will or think. Build or sink, plot, plan, issue decrees, dispatch decoys. And when I returned to Ithaca they couldn't recognize the b-boy. Decoder ring looked like a cheap toy. And I'm just sketching on, and I'm just sketching on flesh. My perceptions of death, rest, bless, sex, hep, stress, test. I'm sketching on flesh, my perceptions of death, rest, bless, sex, hep, stress, test. Zorro knelt hurting, the moral kept swerving while I trudged the straight and thinning. In the mud I made a killing while rappers went missing. Prize of the tycoon, sunrise in the waiting room of the pediatrician. It's hard to listen your favorite song when the CD's skipping. When heroes is prone to victim blaming, do it matter where the missile's aiming? I could never submit myself to a laser beam, still wearing your initials. Suppose I felt an initial displacement. Official statement, there are no carvings in my hidden places. So what's it matter if my physical husk, niggas is dust. Anyway, lest we forget it be the breath. And I'm just sketching on flesh, my perceptions of death. Rest, bless, sex, hep, stress, test. I'm just sketching on flesh, my perceptions of death. Rest, bless, sex, hep, stress, test. I could never submit myself to a laser beam. Still wearing your initials. Initial displacement is past. Official statement, I laugh. How could I ever care about my body knowing it isn't me but mine? Role felt like blind, nigga samurai. Really is best. Ain't no feeling that.
Hi, I lied. I'm back. That was Failing the Stress Test by Milo, and I just wanted to plug the next show. It's called Radio Pizza Party. Two really funny, friendly guys, and they're up next for the next hour and a half. Check them out, and see you next week. Bye-bye.
Be introducing my band. So on the drums we have Posey.